Hi, I'm Michael Lapointe, editor-in-chief of Paperless, and this is The Afterword. Today, I'm speaking with Serena Cody, author of the new Paperless piece, The Beanie Baby Heist of 97. It tells the story of defense attorney Kathleen Zellner, who in the 90s is experiencing some fatigue with her usual grisly cases when a huge yellow Cadillac pulls into the lot of her office. Out steps Ben Perry, a 77-year-old man just over 5 feet tall, who's been accused of stealing 600 cases of ultra-rare Beanie Babies from the toy company warehouse. Zellner takes his case, initiating an unlikely friendship with the so-called Beanie Baby Bandit. But though she's taken a vow never to defend a guilty man, she can never quite decide, is Ben really innocent? Serena joins me from her place in London. Hi, Serena. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me.
This story is so strange, and I've always just been curious about how you first possibly came across it.
To be honest, I can't remember exactly how I came across it because I have a very healthy and full notes folder on my phone. Like there's probably 400 or 500 scraps of notes in there, and it's just things I've come across, and usually on my internet travels from years ago, just stories that sort of piqued my interest, and I've written it down, and most of them don't make sense. But I think I was just going through them one day and I found this little piece of information about the Beanie Baby Bandit. And the more I think about it, I think I probably found it when I was on Reddit. I could spend like a lifetime on there. I don't know what you're like with it, but I feel like it's such a treasure trove. I like Wikipedia as well, like the forgotten pages of Wikipedia. I remember when I was a kid, I would play this game called Wiki Racing, and you basically just race from one obscure topic to another without, you know, able to like search for anything. You just have to go from the in-text links. Yeah, I think that's probably how I found it, doing some version of that on Reddit. I think it was sitting in my notes for a number of years before I dug it back up.
I'm ashamed to say they didn't have Wikipedia when I was a kid. I was more of a Encyclopedia Britannica kid, you know?
Like the physical ones?
The physical books themselves, yeah.
Yes, I was also that kid as well. I am lucky to be from both worlds because straddling both those worlds. I remember my dad had like this quite hideous collection of Encyclopedia Britannica in the basement. It was like this very 80s burgundy set of books, but I loved those. This is back when I had a pretty sweet attention span, and now not like, I couldn't.
Too much Reddit.
Yeah.
And when you started like looking into it, what was like the detail that clued you in that there was a lot here beneath the surface to be found?
I think I liked that there wasn't really that much information available publicly. Like pretty much the extent of what I could find were like a couple of clippings from the Chicago Tribune in the 90s about this mysterious Beanie Baby Bandit who was in his 70s. I feel like that really pulled me in. I was like, who is this grandfather? Who is this guy? That was sort of what pulled me in. And also, I think it was like how he was represented in the court case. Like it just sounded like everyone who came into contact with him, like the judges and the media, they were all just bewildered by this man. Like he seemed so unserious. He showed up to the courtroom with catchphrases, and I just wanted to go deeper.
How did you go deeper? What was your next level of research after you had kind of taken care of all of the public record?
Pretty much just went into stalker mode. Well, I guess I should probably say journalist mode, but I ended up looking at his family members who were still alive, his grandchildren, which took quite a bit of time because many of them had married and had different surnames spread out all over. And I got into contact with his granddaughter, Britt, who was absolutely lovely and really wanted to chat about her granddad because she still misses him dearly. He left a really big mark on her life. So she was very eager to chat and just sort of share in his memory. She did say that Back in the day, he was quite keen for the whole Beanie Baby affair to be turned into a movie one day. He wanted to have a movie made of his life. And then I also traced down Kathleen Zellner, his lawyer, and started talking to her. We had a few chats. That was basically my next line of research, just reaching out to the people who were there.
If you could grant his wish and it became a movie, what do you think the heart of that movie would be? What would be at the core of it?
I see it in two different ways, really. I think that it's about a lawyer, Kathleen, who is a very formidable, successful, wrongful conviction lawyer. And she's taken on this case that is so different from her other ones. She usually deals with quite high-profile murder cases. And for me, that is really compelling, the fact that she wanted to take on this elderly gentleman who'd been accused of stealing a bunch of soft toys. And one way, that's the heart. But then I also think it's about this quirky man, Ben, who was just so full of life and so unique. He drove this huge Cadillac covered in bumper stickers, and he was a small dude. He was like 5 foot 2, 5 foot 3, and was said to have this big round belly, and he was bald and had white hair on the sides. He sounds like such a character. That's the other really compelling part of the story, just this larger than life man.
Yeah, I love their relationship and how it develops. How does Kathleen now reflect on him? How does she remember him?
Oh, she remembers him very fondly and very well. This happened almost 3 decades ago, and the way she talks about him, it's so sharp in her mind, as well as with a couple of the law clerks that work at her office. A couple of other staff members in her law firm, they all remember him really well. She said he was very, very funny and charming and gregarious. The gifts that he would bring into the office, he would just show up with these random items like dog bowls and rawhide bones for dogs and watches as well. She remembers all of that really clearly.
We were talking a minute ago about our childhoods. I have to ask, did you ever own any Beanie Babies or go for the Beanie Baby craze?
I did have a few. I remember having a green one, and I don't know if it's like the Mandela effect, but I swear it had like antlers on top, or like, what do aliens have?
Like antenna?
Yes. Yeah, I remember one like that. But I don't know if it was like some kind of knockoff Beanie Baby, or I don't think that the craze was as big in Australia as it was in the US, but they were still very much a thing there. I loved collecting stuff. I was into collecting like fossils and animal teeth because we lived in a really rural area and the teeth were always just turning up. And there was also Furbies as well. Do you remember Furbies?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Those were so creepy. I think I like Furbies more than Beanie Babies.
Controversial.
Yeah, truly.
One last thing, I guess. You're writing a story about someone who's passed away in the Beanie Baby Bandit. Ben, unfortunately, is not around to see this story get made. If you could ask him one question, what would it be?
Can you be my granddad, please? Or did you do it?
Fair enough. Well, thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. I love this story.
Oh, no worries. Thank you so much. It's been amazing to chat.